Hi guys, welcome to another episode of our Facts First podcast. Again, this is part of our special Bangsamoro series in partnership with the Institute for Autonomy and Governance. Now, for this particular episode, we're going to talk about the scheduled elections, the very first regional elections in the new Bangsamoro Autonomous Region in Muslim Mindanao in 2022. We are joined today by a former COMELEC Commissioner, Louis Tito Guia, who will be talking about a lot of the issues, the nitty-gritty about the upcoming elections in the Bangsamoro. Thank you very much, Commissioner Guia, for joining us on this podcast, sir.
Thank you for inviting me, Christian.
Okay.
It's my honor.
Okay. First, it's quite weird because we're going to talk about the scheduled elections in 2022, but we know that there's still a lot of uncertainty because there are moves to actually postpone the elections in 2022 and extend the Bangsamoro Transition Authority until 2025. First, I'd like to get your opinion. Would it be better for the region if the first ever BARM elections would be postponed in 2022?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer. But by default, of course, we would want all elections to be held on a regular interval, periodic, and the interval should be predictable. You know, when the law was passed, that's Republic Act 11054, which is the new organic act of the Bangsamoro Autonomous Region of Muslim Mindanao, the law is specific in saying that the election should be held on the second Monday of May 2022 as to be synchronized with the national and local election. And, you know, when theoretically, when the people approve the organic act, that is what they are looking for. And if you really want to be strict about it, I mean, it means that the BTA, which is in effect the temporary or parliament, was mandated by the people to come up with the necessary preparations for an election to be held in 2022. Mm-hmm. So by default, that is what is supposed to happen. But you know, COVID was not expected. It did not happen. But let me just point out that worldwide, more than 100 countries and territories have gone on with their election despite experiencing the COVID pandemic. So COVID alone cannot be used as an excuse to postpone the election. But, you know, I am not sure. There might be some realities on the ground. If you must remember, Christian, the election or the even the coming up with a new organic code or organic act came through in the context of a peace process.
Yeah.
So people are saying that, you know, there has to be some obligations that need to be satisfied first before election can be held. So it's quite tricky, you know, but you know, postponement of the election is not something that is actually unanimously agreed on. Mm-hmm. Although there are more people who says that, you know, you cannot have election if some of the things that are necessary to make it happen and to satisfy the objective of the peace process.
That's actually the argument coming from the Moro Islamic Liberation Front, in particular the interim chief minister Murad Ibrahim. He cited the COVID-19 pandemic, but he also cited other reasons. That's why they're pushing for a postponement. Number one, of course, the commitments coming from the national government, the delay in the release of funds, especially last year. There are many different complications, and he himself was quite he admitted that if elections would be held today or in 2022, there's a good chance that they might lose because there are a lot of deliverables that they have not delivered yet. But in terms of preparation, I'm going to ask you as a former COMELEC commissioner. I mean, if they proceed with the elections in 2022 and we're now in 2021, right? Do they still have enough time to prepare for 2022 in the region?
Well, as far as I know, COMELEC is preparing as if there's going to be a BARM election. But the trick there, tricky thing there is that, you know, the BARM election should be conducted in the context of a new Bangsamoro electoral code, which ideally should have been passed, well, ideally, more than a year ago, because it presents a very new concept of government that is unique to BARM. Now, personally, I'm actually excited about the form of government, the electoral design in the BARM, because it, I think having a parliament that half of which will be elected through a system of proportional representation is something that might even, you know, augur well if we want to reform our national constitution and come up with a new electoral system design. Mm-hmm. But the requisite, of course, is to make the people become familiar with the new system. And it was then, it was therefore, would have been necessary for the BTA to have prioritized and come up with the electoral code earlier on. But that is not supposed to be the case. So that is what is making things difficult for COMELEC to be organizing an election simultaneous with the national and local elections, the concept of election in the BARM. Although the BARM law itself says that if the electoral code is not passed, then the current electoral laws can be made to apply. Mm-hmm. So that the election will push through nevertheless in the BARM.
But this is something unique, right? So let's talk about, let's take this opportunity to help educate the people in Dibang-Samoro, in the new region. You mentioned the new electoral design for the Dibang-Samoro Autonomous Region in Muslim Mindanao. People might be surprised. Hey, so I'm not going to elect directly the chief minister. Okay. So talk to us about the process itself. What's so unique about this parliamentary elections? You mentioned that half of the parliament will be elected, or half of the members will be elected through a system of proportional representation, meaning it has to be proportional, right? Okay, yes. So that means 50% of the 80-member parliament. Okay, talk to us, yes, about the design. What's so different, okay, about this?
First and foremost, Republic Act 11054, or the organic law of the BARM, mandates a parliamentary system. Basically, a parliamentary system is where people elect their representatives, and then the representative chooses the chief minister or the prime minister in other parliamentary countries. So there is, by design, there is no direct election of the chief executive and the chief of government, okay, or the chief of government, the head of government. So that is the design.
It's different from electing a regional governor, for instance, right? Directly.
No, yes. If the ARM region was used to electing directly the regional governor, as you know, prescribed in the 1989 an organic law amended in 2001, that is not going to be the case anymore. You will, the people will elect representatives, and the representatives, when they convene, will elect the chief minister, who will be the head of government. So that's how it is, because it's a parliamentary system.
So how do you think the political parties, and this should be the case. There has to be a strong political party system within the region.
Well, that is the premise. That is the premise of a parliamentary system, especially if the manner of election or the electoral design is through a proportional representation system. Because under a proportional representation system, you vote for the party, not the individuals. And the party will come up with a list, a party list, from whom the nominees will be taken. Mm. And depending on the number of votes obtained by that party in the election in proportion to the votes, total votes for the proportional representation portion of the parliament, that is the number of representatives that that the party would have.
Let's simplify this, okay, for our viewers, yes, and our listeners. Yes. For instance, 40 out of the 80 members of the parliament will be elected through a system of proportional representation.
Yes.
If one party manages to win all those seats, let's say 100% of the votes, so they have to occupy 100% of the seats.
Okay. First, 100% of the votes of for the PR system.
Yeah, cast for the PR system.
So the way it's going to happen when the voters vote is that there's going to be at least two votes one for the district representative, because there's still district representative that will be 40% of the parliament, and one for the proportional representation, which is actually in real sense the party list thing. Okay, so you're going to vote twice. Now, after having voted for your district representative in the parliament or district minister in your parliament, then you will vote for the party that will nominate. So that's it. So the percentage, the proportion will be taken only from the votes in the proportional representation portion. Uh-huh. Okay. Yes, theoretically, if one gets 100% of the proportional representation vote, then it gets 100% of the seats allocated for the proportional representation portion of the parliament.
And that will be 40 seats. Yes. Of course.
So it's really a giving mandate or how much mandate a party would have. And that the amount of mandate would be considered in will determine the number of seats.
Okay, so this is the real spirit of the system of proportional representation, unlike the Philippine party list system that we have now, wherein the number of seats a group might get will be limited to 3. Kasi that's another debate altogether, right? But in this case, again, this presupposes that we have strong political party system, a strong political party system within the Bangsamoro already. Are they anywhere near that? This is this is new.
No, they are not, and that is why that is one very important reason why the Bangsamoro Transition Authority should have passed the electoral code earlier on, because the electoral code is supposed to provide for the qualifications of the parties that will participate in the Bangsamoro election, much more in the proportional representation portion of the parliament. And, you know, a lot of things can happen. A proportional representation system is a system that incentivizes electoral success through political parties. So it tends to make politics more programmatic than personality-based. So it's like re-engineering your electoral system's design so that people and, you know, political contestants would tend to gravitate towards a party or towards a party system or ideally a programmatic kind of politics to ensure electoral success. No, that's the ideal. Rather than what we have now, a first-past-the-post single-member district, which is what we're used to, is basically a very personality-based election. And I think that is the Bangsamoro Organic Law itself says that one of its main objectives is to promote programmatic politics. So I think that is consistent with the vision of embodied or stated in the principles, statement of principles in the Organic Act.
Of course, that is the objective, that is the aspiration, that is the dream. But whether that would be achieved, I mean, sorry for sounding quite not cynical. That optimistic. I don't want to use the word cynical, pero not that optimistic yet. Because we're dealing here with clans, even with warlords, with well-entrenched families in politics and dynasties, diba? Yes. So for instance, you might end up with one prominent party, perhaps siguro the party of the MILF, diba? The United Bangsamoro Justice Party. Example lang, I'm not saying na sila talaga yung very, very dominant, although they are dominant now, diba? So you might end up with two parties. The other one is just somehow discharging the job of a party. Kasi given the context in the Bangsamoro, you might end up with a certain political party actually dominating the elections and perhaps controlling the parliament, but disregarding the spirit that was enshrined in the organic law.
Okay. Providing a political party mechanism in the Bangsamoro Bangsamoro Electoral Code can include or might include something like prohibiting members of the same family being nominated in the list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or perhaps it can provide that, you know, if you are nominated in one party, a relative can no longer be nominated in another party. So these are the ideal setup that you can put into the Bangsamoro Electoral Code, which under the law, COMELEC is supposed to recognize and acknowledge when it implements the election. So, well, you know, elections in the BARM is really problematic historically, you know, but you cannot change it overnight.
Yeah.
But the first step that can be done actually is to re-engineer the process. Well, things will be the same anyway if you don't do anything. You know what I mean? I mean, it's really starting to do something and hope that it works. But of course, one of the basic ingredients beyond, you know, changing the design of the system is, of course, to strengthen party system. Mm-hmm. So how do you strengthen party system? And this is even true insofar as national politics is concerned.
Yeah.
You know, institutionalize political parties, make incentivize, you know, a stronger political party than, you know, let's say a personality or an individual dominating a political party. So these can be done by, you know, re-engineering your design, and hopefully it will work. No, it is not going to be perfect. Some other countries that adopted that kind of system had their own problem, but to me, it's quite better to start with it right now. Now, if we do not do anything as designed, then it's going to be the same thing. You can postpone the elections all you want. It's not going to change.
So actually, if this
signing it, yeah.
If this succeeds, this can serve as a model for the rest of the country in case, let's say, the national government intends in later on to actually shift to a parliamentary system, right? This can serve as a model.
Well, to me, I would you know, disclose that I'm an advocate of proportional adoption of a proportional representation system. To me, is a system that is more representative and it allows for lesser wasted votes. You know, because in a first past the post single members district system, when one wins, all the votes that were given to the loser are actually disregarded in a proportional representation system. Even a 2% vote might give you a probable chance of obtaining a seat in the parliament. So I mean, obviously that's more inclusive a system than any other system that can be had. So my interest is to make the if I can help, of course, is to make sure that the Bangsamoro experiment works, at least. No, it's not going to be perfect. There are bigger problems than election in the Bangsamoro region, peace and all these things. But you got to start somewhere, and you know, having good politics and having good leaders and making sure that the leaders have the true mandate of the people is one good start in reforming the society.
By the way, are we talking here of a closed list system of proportional representation?
Okay, that's another thing that needs to be defined by the electoral code, probably. Are we saying that we are adopting a closed list system where the voters cannot have a say on who gets to the list ahead of the others? Mm-hmm. No, unlike in other system, in Indonesia, they have an open list system where the voters can have a say on who gets on top of the list and gets nominated. But there are thinking, or there are opinions that, you know, having an open list might, you know, destroy or the purpose of making elections more programmatic, because
might defeat you would the purpose. Again,
yeah, you would go again look at personalities to elect. Elect a particular party regardless of the ideological base of
which
of
is what's party. Happening now in the partyless system nationwide.
Well, there are a lot of problems with our partyless system.
They're supposed to vote for the party, but since they are familiar with those campaigning as nominees or campaigning for the party, diba? Sometimes even the voters misconstrue a particular celebrity as actually the nominee of a political of a party list, right? So anyway, that's another debate altogether. Ayaw na natin, you know, we don't want that to happen here in the Bangsamoro.
You know, Christian, I mean that's one way of looking at the party list system, but it is also a system that allowed, to me, let me be honest about this, Akbayan and Bayan Muna, which did not really have personalities to be elected with, you know, so that's the flip side of what you're saying. It can also work. These are the parties which I can say they are the real political parties because, you know, they have advocacies more than personalities to push.
Yeah.
And they actually succeeded in it's just because we got the party list system wrong. And that's why you see all these problems.
Yeah. So in this case, what would you like to see in the electoral code in the Bangsamoro?
Well, first and foremost, a clear set of qualifications that can be a basis to register or accredit which political parties can join. Number one, it is people are asking, should you allow national parties to participate in the BARM election? Or should it be limited to regional parties? So probably the electoral code must be clear about it. That, you know, my reading is that only regional parties or parties that operate within the BARM can participate in the BARM election. Or
isn't that obvious? Isn't that obvious? Because we're talking about self-determination, self-governance.
That seems very obvious, and I see it in the in the Organic Act itself saying that. But you know, people are asking, how about, let's say, PDP Laban having a satellite party for the BARM, something like that, you know, or national party. You know, those are dynamics.
Yeah.
Okay. But these dynamics or natural inclination of political actors can actually be the behavior can actually be influenced by the design that you make. Mm-hmm. So one design that you can actually provide and require is to say that only truly regional parties can. And of course, there are, you know, operational terms that you can use to make that happen in the law. And it might also be good, as I was stressing before, that, you know, in the ordering of nominees, you want to be more inclusive. Mm-hmm. You might adapt the zipper system in
babae lalaki
o dalawang babae basta yung pangatlo ibang gender, something like that, or youth, or you can even use dynasties. No one can be in the same list when they are of relative of this degree.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. And you can even, if you want to be a bit more geographic, the nominee should come from different island groups.
Yeah, that's
so that
true.
It can truly be a... So these are designs that you can impose by way of re-engineering the politics.
So there's this guidance coming from the organic law, but you have to put the nitty-gritty in the electoral code. What else would you like? Very interesting.
That's one. There are a lot of gaps also, like, you know, how would... The law kasi says that, you know, the qualification will be provided by the electoral code, but the election will be run by COMELEC.
Mm-hmm.
And the accreditation process would have to be approved by COMELEC. So perhaps a more detailed, operational relationship between COMELEC and the Bangsamoro Parliament or what will come up out of the Bangsamoro Electoral Code might be made. No, yung ganon, you clarify. Now, another is the districting of the yung parliamentary district, because as of now there are, you know, nagko-correspond kasi yung kwan, yung district, yung assembly representatives, 3 per district dun sa existing legislative districts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. But now you will have 32 district representatives within the arm. Diba? So you have to redistrict the whole region to create 32 parliamentary districts for the BARM. And one possible problematic consequence, if that is not that will not be noticed, is to have to redefine the boundary outside of the existing congressional district configuration. Kasi ang mangyayari dyan, if you will synchronize the election with the national election, people in the BARM will vote for their national congressman. They will also vote for their regional parliamentary representative.
So pag magkaiba yung distrito, baka magkalituhan sa kung sino yung iboboto.
It could be messy. And how about the 63 barangays in North Cotabato?
That's another problem.
Saan mo siya ididikit?
There is that's a policy issue, I think, no? Although the law, there's a big gap there. Ano ba sila? Should they be ididikit mo ba sila doon sa adjacent municipality? Not really adjacent, but some are not adjacent. No, to the nearest municipality in Maguindanao, doon sa, galing from North Cotabato, di ba? These are questions, or should they constitute as one district itself, no? And then in the national election, sino iboboto nilang congressman? Will they still vote for governor in North Cotabato? Will they vote for governor in Maguindanao or in whatever? Or should they have their own? These are things that need to be defined. Probably una, dapat sa local government code ng BARM probably. And then, you know, the electoral code will just follow. But, you know, if in the absence of a local government provision, perhaps the electoral code can adapt it. Pero COMELEC kasi came up with a resolution last October that says that in the absence of a guidance from the Bangsamoro Parliament, then they will consider those territories as they are, no, separate from Maguindanao. But that and I think COMELEC now is hoping very this can be defined better, because that is going to be a problem, especially when they're using your automated election in terms of configuring the system in that area.
And of course, the number of ballots that you need to prepare, right?
Yes.
Kasama yung nitty-gritty in terms of election management.
Yes. And the worst that can happen is you might be required to use two ballots if you cannot, you know, configure the system, the technology to align it with the national election configuration.
So how do we solve this situation now? Because it seems like if I'm COMELEC, I'm in a dilemma. Of course, I'm still preparing as though the elections would proceed in 2022 in the Bangsamoro region, but there are, I think, at least five bills filed at the House of Representatives seeking to extend the BTA and to postpone the elections that is originally set in 2022. I mean, if the situation is this messy, I mean, at least based on this conversation, it seems like everything points to the idea that perhaps it might be better to postpone the elections. But on the other hand, there is the other side of the debate. Wouldn't it be better for the MILF? Of course, sinasabi ko MILF, although technically government na sila dahil nandun sila sa BTA, hindi mo mas maganda if they get a fresh mandate?
Well, there was a very good opinion that I read, no, pointing to that position, no. Unang-una, the BTA is not elected.
Yeah.
No, the BTA members are appointed by the president, nominated by the MILF, and you know, it would be good to, if you talk about, you know, peace in the area, you might want to consult the people by having those who would make decisions elected as soon as they can. And that's one argument in pushing for the election. Now, you know, if you're talking about election, and this might perhaps be an oversimplification of things, but if you're talking about election, it's really the decision of the people voting, electing. You know, you consult them. It's not a play of the political elites in the region. It's not their decision, actually. Ultimately, whatever they decide on, even the issue of postponement, actually. To me, I think it makes sense. Maybe it's even legal and constitutional for a postponement to need the approval of the voters in a plebiscite. Because it is the people that chose to hold the election in 2022, not the Congress, not the not any of the powerful groups in that region. So ultimately, when you look at the basic principle that people should be deciding all these things, Di ba dapat sila papalitan mo yung rules eh. So, di ba dapat ikonsulta mo yung tao?
Understandably, because they ratified the new organic law in a plebiscite, and then naka-spell out dun yung ano eh, yung mga mangyayari dapat, and then you're going to change the rules of the game. Pero if you're talking of another plebiscite, when can you reasonably set that?
That's precisely the point, and that's why technically it makes more sense to hold the election na walang yung walang question sa legality and all and mandate and everything. No, but you know, elections are also supposed to be held when you're prepared for it. And if you're not doing the things that are necessary to prepare for the election, then the logic of postponing it becomes more viable if you really want it postponed. You know what I mean?
Which brings me to my next question. Do you get the sense that the BTA is not actually preparing for the 2022 elections?
No, the pandemic is really a challenge, no? And there are a lot of things that could have been done by the BTA other than, you know, passing the Bangsamoro Electoral Code when had the pandemic not happened. No, perhaps there are other more important bills to pass also, the administrative code, which is really very important, local government code, the education code. But I just hope before that the electoral code should have been given a priority also. No, it is difficult. It was very challenging, but that did not happen. Now, it might be unfair for me to be concluding that perhaps they did not want the election to happen earlier on. No, if you really want to make it happen, then you really have to do the hard work now or even yesterday or even last year sana. So mahirap din magbigay ng judgment kasi, but you know, like Comelec, if they didn't do anything now or last year to prepare for a 2022 election, the argument for postponing the elections will become more compelling. Diba? I think kaya ngayon yung punto that kailangan itulak eh yung mga representative mo to do what they need to do, because that's the mandate of the law. National law says elections should be held every 3 years. So we have to push COMELEC to do what needs to be done to make that happen. The same here. The organic law says that it should be held in 2022. So, you know, you just have to push those responsible to do what are necessary to make
it. Okay. I just want to make your position clear. So for you, would you prefer that the BARM elections proceed in 2022?
As a Democrat, yes. But I would want to listen to a more realistic assessment of the situation on the ground, because I also recognize that the form of government and the passage of the Organic Act came out of a peace process. And peace building is also a very important component of social harmony and of things that we would want in a society. So it's really very tricky in the case of ARM. But let me point this out very, very clearly. Whatever the situation in ARM is, does not apply to the national debate about whether to postpone election. There is no acceptable reason by now to say that the 2022 election will be postponed. I mean the national elections. BARM is a unique has a unique situation. Now, in case logic tells us that the elections there needs to be postponed because of more overriding and overwhelming reasons, then that's unique to ARM. Kaya ayoko so my bias really is to hold the election as they are, as they're scheduled.
Good thing
kasi
you clarified that.
Kasi ayoko gamitin itong rason, baka sabihin sa national election eh.
Yeah, good thing you clarified that, because some people who are quite imaginative or even creative might take advantage of this push to postpone the BARM elections, also push for the postponement of the national elections. Mas madugo yun if they push for that.
No, if you're a bit, you know, if you're a bit conscious about it, you can see some, you know, some signs going towards that direction.
Like what? This latest push to amend the constitution?
Well, COVID actually plays significant role in the argument for postponing the BARM election. Of course, the peace process is there, no? But I see COVID being put on a prominent stature in the justification for postponing the Barm election as a way to probably see how it can go towards postponing the national election. No? Magkaiba ang sitwasyon. Very different. Very, very different. And that's quite obvious.
Well, we hope people won't go to the extent of even entertaining that idea of postponing the national elections and use the COVID-19 pandemic as a very convenient excuse to pursue their insidious objectives.
Christian, one important requirement there is to do something about COVID right now. Because if we do not do something about COVID right now, then that justification can resonate better as we go along doing nothing. So if we really want the election, and it's not a question of wanting, it's really something that we should have because that's what the Constitution says, and that's what genuine democratic system that we profess to have should be having, should be doing, we should work to eliminate all justification for postponement of election. COVID is not a valid excuse because many countries that are even less developed than us were able to hold credible elections even if they had COVID. There's really no excuse for us not to. Indonesia, with more than 100 million voters, had their local election last December amidst COVID. It was very challenging that they were able to do it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, former COMELEC Commissioner Louis Tito Guia, for joining us on this podcast. It's very enlightening. Thank you for your insights, especially in explaining this unique parliamentary setup and electoral design in the Bangsamoro. Thank you very much, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay. Salamat. Okay, and that's it for this week's episode as part of our new Bangsamoro series in partnership with the Institute for Autonomy and Governance. Don't forget that you can also watch this podcast on YouTube. It's also available on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Stitcher. See you again next week for another episode of our Facts First podcast. Thank you very much.